Hi, this is Elliot Haspel, and welcome to another edition of Best Practices Weekly. Today we're going to be talking about student self-assessment, which is a really powerful way to help students get feedback that they might not otherwise be able to get just because teachers are really busy and it's a lot of students and it's hard to give detailed feedback to students pretty consistently. And so this comes from an article in Johns Hopkins University's Better Evidence-Based Education magazine, and a University of Albany professor, Heidi Andrade, summarizes some best practices for helping students self-assess. And Andrade explains that for effective student self-assessment, students need several things to be set up for success. One is awareness of the value of self-assessment. Two is access to clear criteria on which to base the assessment. Three is a specific task or performance to assess. Four is models of self-assessment being used. Five is direct instruction in and assistance with self-assessment. Six is practice. Seven is cues regarding when it is appropriate to self-assess. And lastly, opportunities to revise and improve the task or performance. And that last point is really important. Self-assessment is primarily useful as a formative type of assessment or in process. It does not work particularly well on tasks that are already complete because there's no opportunity to utilize that feedback. And so there are three key steps to having students self-assess any particular assignment. The first is articulate expectations. Students must know explicitly what they're striving for in a particular task. Often this involves a rubric, and that can either be teacher-created or co-created with the students. But the important point is that in some way or another, students know what they're trying to get at, and they know very specifically the pieces of what success looks like. Second, the actual self-assessment. After students make a first attempt at an assignment, for example, a writing piece or a math word problem, they compare their work to the rubric. So, for instance, in writing, Andrade gives the example, she says, quote, "I ask students to use colored pencils to underline key phrases in the rubric, then underline in their drafts the evidence of having met the standards articulated by the phrase in the same color." So, if students were supposed to be working on making persuasive arguments using evidence, then they would underline in blue on the rubric the part that says, you know, makes persuasive argument using evidence, and then in blue on their writing piece, they underline where they actually did that. Or if they didn't, then they make a reminder for themselves of that area, and they know they're going to need to revise that particular area. And the third step is revision. And this is, again, the key, most crucial step. Students have to be given an opportunity to use their self-assessment to guide revision of their work. And again, this can work for math as well as for English language arts. Without the step for revision, the whole strategy falls flat because students aren't going to be thoughtful and deliberate about self-assessing themselves. And so research has shown, in conclusion, that student self-assessment has significant benefits both in terms of increasing performance on specific assignments relative to control groups, and also in terms of building students' long-term self-regulation skills, so helping them become much more independent learners. It requires thoughtful setup by the teacher, to be sure, but once the conditions are created, Andrade concludes, quote, "Self-assessment can ensure that all students get the kind of feedback they need, when they need it, in order to learn and achieve." Thanks for listening and happy teaching.